Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's the Rich Eisen Show Basketball Podcast. We're back. It's been a few weeks, but we're back because there's a lot going on in the association as we near closer to NBA All-Star Weekend. The conferences are starting to take shape, and there's just a lot going on. Steph Curry got ejected for throwing his mouthpiece. Like, why does he do that? Adam and TJ, as always, join me here in the Rich Eisen Show Studios. What's up, guys?
We're back in the studio here. It's very cold right now. I'm kind of shivering, but I know I shouldn't be complaining because there's people in Chicago watching this. So I got to stop complaining. But yeah, that's what's going on right now. It's a little cold in here,
back,
but it's all
TJ,
good.
TJ, what's up, man?
I mean, you know, we're joining you. I thought we were. That's a combination.
I know,
but
we're all together.
This,
you know, I welcome us, and you're here, and I'm here, you're there.
Here's the deal. Let me tell you what people don't pay for. Okay. People don't pay to go to a basketball game to see Steph Curry get thrown out for tossing the mouthpiece. That is one thing that nobody pays hard-earned American dollars for. Okay. Let me just tell you that. True. Like, what are they doing? True. Are you throwing out Steph?
True. I mean, Dame Time dropped 60 last day. Kind of a low-key, like, good association.
Yeah, man.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you had Ben Simmons coming back to Philly last night, and I got a bone.
That's a real thing? That happened?
Oh, yeah, it happened. I got a bone to pick with you, Brockman, because yesterday you said something that left me so dumbfounded when we went off the air, I couldn't even address it, so I decided to address it now.
Oh,
yesterday I brought up Embiid, and we talked about why he's not getting any MVP love, and you said, well, tell your team to do better, and we went off air, and I was dumbfounded, because the Sixers are in second place. They're currently on a six-game winning streak.
You're right.
So how with a 30-16? So how could they be doing any better? The man is he is dominant.
That's true. All right, so I'm here for you now. So why isn't Embiid getting MVP love?
I have no idea. The man's been runner-up 2 years in a row. So you figure that would mean that his next step would be the ascent to the crown. Joker's balling, and his team's in first place. But the fact of the matter is, he won MVPs before, and his team wasn't doing that well. So I don't know what the criteria is. Like Isaiah Thomas said, Embiid fits the criteria. I don't know why he's not been chosen yet.
Yeah, I guess we could just start here, Adam. Does it seem like Jokic has already been crowned MVP this year? Kind of feels that way, doesn't it?
I don't believe so, because to me, the NBA writers, whoever's associated with voting, they're not going to give Jokic three MVPs in a row. I just do not see that happening at all. I just don't see it happening.
He's minus money as a favorite. He's minus 150 right now.
Wow.
Then it's Luka plus 375. Then Embiid and Tatum are plus 900. So we got a massive jump. There's a big gap between Joker and Doncic for second place. And then a big jump between second and third and fourth, Tatum and Embiid, 9-1. Giannis 13-1, and then a huge jump out to Ja Morant 30-1.
You've got to be pounding the table for your guy Jason Tatum right now. They have the best record in the league. He's never won MVP before. He's improved greatly since last year, and last year he had a fantastic season. How is this guy not the odds-on favorite to be the MVP right now, Chris?
You want to know what it is? It's because Jaylen Brown is almost just as good. Jaylen Brown's averaging 27-7-3. He's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. He is a phenomenal player. You could make a case to the best duo in the NBA. Tatum's at 31 a game. I totally agree with you. Tatum has gotten better every single year in the league, which is crazy because, TJ, I'm sorry, man. He's only 24 years old.
You don't have to keep reminding me of these things, man.
He's 24 years old.
I know.
He gets better every single year.
It's frustrating.
He's so good.
Don't do that to TJ.
Like I said, an improvement every single year, right? He goes from 14 points to 16 points a game in his rookie to second year. Big jump in his third year, 23. Then he was 26, 27 the last 2 years, now 31. He's really taken the leap. He was first-team All-NBA last year. He's proven himself. He's now going to be in this perennial MVP talk every single year now.
With a new coach also. We have to mention that.
With a new coach. Look, it's been awesome what the Celtics have done the last two games, notwithstanding. Kind of a weird thing where we can't beat the Magic, which is really weird. But people were pointing out in 07-08 with the championship team, they struggled against a couple of poor teams, so it's kind of whatever. But, yeah, look, I don't know. I know. And we started here with Embiid. Let's get back to Embiid. I think Tatum is the MVP right now, but Brown's success kind of splits the vote in a weird way, if that makes sense. Luka's the Mavs record, I don't think, will ever actually be good enough for Luka to win MVP, even though he's maybe the best player in the NBA. But TJ, the Sixers are just flying so under the radar.
Which is fine. I'm okay with that.
Where you don't even think about them like, oh, they have the second best record in the East. Like, yeah. They're 31-16. Like, that's phenomenal. Why aren't we talking about Embiid? I don't know, but we should.
I don't know either. It's, you know, you watch that game. First of all, you know, you had the Ben Simmons game come back. So that was interesting yesterday.
What happened? Did you guys pound them last
night? No, it was like it was a close game. Oh, what really? Was the final score? Let me bring up the final score.
I was locked up in new bed here. Duty last night.
I saw it. It was a high scoring game, guys. It was 137-133.
Damn.
With no Kevin Durant, Kyrie balled, of course. Embiid just did, you know, he did his normal thing. He had, actually, here's something that happened I want to point out. I don't know the Sixers are going to keep doing this, but I kind of like it. Tyrese Maxey came off the bench, and he's been sixth man.
Oh, he had 27.
27 off the bench because Milton's been balling. So Maxey obviously is a starter in this league, but if you're going to put this guy on the second unit, man, that's just going to be
30-10 from Kyrie last night.
30-10 Kyrie balled. He got into it with some fans sitting courtside. It was great.
But still no Durant. So like how
Nick Claxton surprisingly held. I mean, he did well against Embiid last night. It was a pretty funny thing to watch. But Embiid was bully balling a lot in that game. And you could tell there's still some dislike between him and Ben Simmons there.
Yeah.
And Ben caught himself guarding Joe at various points, especially in the beginning of the game, and Embiid just like put the shoulder down. He did the thing, Chris, that I'm always wanting him to do: stop shooting from 23 out, get your big butt underneath the rim, and put in work. And he was doing that last night to the tune of, what did he finish with? 26-10, 6-18
field. A minus 16 for Ben Simmons.
You know, yeah. What did Ben have?
He had 12.
Yeah, 12, whatever. 5-5. You know, and by the way,
hey, whatever.
They'll probably would be happy with that out of Ben every day.
Especially for high 20s minutes. I mean, that's
when Kevin comes back, you know, so yeah. But
and we have to talk about James Harden also. He's really starting to figure it out.
Yep.
And if you look at his stats the last few games, he had a bad game against the Clippers, only 6 points. But you look at these numbers, 23.7 assists last night, 16-10-14 against Portland, 24-7-13 against the Lakers. So. Yep. He's really starting to figure out his role with that team, and they're clicking on all cylinders right now. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, Philly looks great. I mean, for them to kind of leapfrog Milwaukee there, TJ, in the standings.
Yeah, everyone's healthy right now.
Pretty impressive.
I'm happy with the way they're playing, and, you know, definitely on a positive note going into the All-Star break.
An absolute dogfight in the East.
Yeah, the second half of the season is going to be incredible.
Just that top four, Boston, Philly, Milwaukee, Brooklyn, I mean, we can look at the schedule and see how many times those teams play each other. Those matchups are going to be must-see because, look, those are more likely. I can't see Cleveland breaking through once Durant comes back. Those are going to be your top four seeds in some order in the East. And it's, look, who gets home court advantage throughout the playoffs, that's really going to matter to see who comes out and makes it to the finals.
Well, and you even see a team like the Miami Heat who started the season playing terribly. And they're picking it up now. And I'm not saying they will win the East, but that's a team you do not want to face in the playoffs, especially if they have a healthy Bam, a healthy Jimmy Butler. That team could go, you know, the distance.
Yeah, they're playoff tested.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say that. They're battle tested, man, and they have absolute warriors on that team who have kind of been through the grind since the bubble when they made it all the way to the final, the bubble finals, and then the last couple of years, you know, taking Boston to seven games. Like,
the NBA is fun this year.
NBA is really fun.
The playoffs are going to be incredible.
Yeah.
There's so many good matchups potentially.
Yeah, but before we get there, there's the All-Star stuff. So let's hit on this real quick before we talk about TJ's favorite team, the LA Lakers. it just came out. So the last few years, I forget when they started it.
About 3-4 years ago.
Were the guys picking their team? So, no longer the fan voting for the rosters. I mean, fan voting for the rosters, but not the teams themselves. We go with the two captains.
Yeah.
And the last few years, it's been Steph and LeBron. I know KD's been in there. And they just pick their teams. And they do it on Turner. And it's a really good time. I've really enjoyed it. But one of the wrinkles, everyone was like, oh, man, it would be cool if they did it on the court before the game. They're actually doing it. This is so exciting. I think this is going to be so great. Rich kind of poo-pooed it on the big show, which I guess I understand coming from where he – how he grew up, whatever, you're the last guy picked for kickball. Like, it's a kind of a bummer, right? You don't want to be that guy. But if you're in the top 24 players in the NBA, TJ, if you go last, so what?
Yeah, exactly.
You laugh all the way to the bank. But I think this is going to be so fun. It's going to just kind of create a little edge to the game, I feel like. I don't know. I'm into it. What do you guys think?
I mean, it's like playing the pickup ball. We've all done that. Yeah. You're back at the Y. You're back at the, you know, you're back
gym,
at
whatever.
Booker T. Washington and Altoona, you know, wherever you want to do it. And you roll up on the court and you call next, and then you kind of try to assemble your team with the guys that are coming in. So this is going to be great. I'm assuming, I believe LeBron was obviously the high vote getter, and then I would assume maybe it was Giannis in the East. I'd have to double check.
If I'm not mistaken, do the fans still choose the starters, though?
I feel the fans choose the 24.
Okay.
Yeah, the fans just choose the player. Then
or the 20 or the 30.
I don't know who chooses this. I guess maybe the coaches? That's a good question. But the fans just get you into the game, and then I think that's it for fan participation. But, yeah, man, think about it. But how are they going to do that? Are we literally going to have the whole pomp and circumstance, because that's what the All-Star game is? You know, you have your Drake coming out, and then you got your dancers, and you got some comedians, and you have the intros, right? And you might have guys break dancing, and you might have the Blue Man Group. You just never know who's going to show up. I'm sure, you know, DJ Khaled is going to be there because he's everywhere.
Yeah, and so it looks like it's either LeBron, and then either Giannis or KD, whichever finishes.
Okay, so KD, I heard, does want to make it back for the game. So is that it? So we sit there, right?
Yeah.
So we have 24 guys, and then two guys step forward, LeBron and, let's just say,
and then they pick
KD. And then LeBron gets the first pick because he had the most votes. Now, does LeBron go, I'll take one or I'll take two, three? They figure that out. But you tell me, packed house, millions and millions watching on TV. You have guys lined up with just tank tops on, in a table full of jerseys, and LeBron goes, I want you, and you come, you pick your jersey up, like, and then Durant's like, I want you. Is that how we're doing it? And then
for the first, let's go. Let's
do it.
For the first time, they assemble like 5 minutes later and go, okay, we're a team. Let's try to run some plays. Like, how's that going to work?
Yeah, this is amazing. So here we go. This is how it goes, guys. The top three front court. So it's just front court. There's no center. You know what I mean? It's not broken up. It's three front court players, two guards in each conference. Those are your starters. Okay, the leading vote getters from each conference serving as captains. Fan vote is 50%, media ballot 25%, and then a player's ballot is the other 25%. That's how the All-Stars are picked.
Okay.
And then the reserve for the starters. And then reserves are chosen by the coaches, and then seven player panel picks of the rest of the team.
I love this because it takes it back to the playground, like we've said. Yeah. That's just fun. And who knows, if you're the last player picked, maybe there's a certain type of vengeance you have and you go off and you become the All-Star MVP.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot more personal when it's in person, you're seeing it happen live. And
that's,
I think,
exactly,
it's going to be so fun.
Exactly what this I said awesome, to Rich yesterday, because he was totally opposed to it. I'm like, no. He goes, what about the guy who's picked last? I'm like, that's the best story. Lauri Markkanen gets picked last, and guess what? Now he's got 29-12 and he wins All-Star Game MVP. That's your story. That's a great story, you know, but Rich did not see it that way.
Also, we should have a, I was going to say that there should be a hype man also that, like, when a player gets pitched, like, oh, you didn't pick Steph. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I'm
it could be
sure
that.
There will be. Yeah. Look, think about this.
They might get my man to come down from Rucker Park and
think
handle
about
all that.
How much drama there is in the NBA on a given night.
And you know TNT, they love drama.
And you know. Well hey. Done. And you know, like, guys don't like each other. Not everybody likes each other in this league. It's
well, that's where you're wrong, Chris. Remember, we're in the league now where everybody does get along.
I know. So I hate that. I got to think there's some level of pettiness somewhere. So, like, oh, you did this to my boy, or you slept with my girl. You know what I mean? Like, hey, oh, yeah, I'm not picking you. What are you, crazy? You're going to save a guy for the last. Who was it? Was it last year or the year before somebody got picked last and they were super pissed about it?
Well, remember the one year that nobody went to pick Harden for some reason,
right.
And he let him go last.
That's like, what I mean. Like, it's awesome. This is going to be so great. I can't wait. Okay, it's such a great idea.
It's going to be very interesting.
I'm glad they picked it up. Okay, let's get into it, TJ, because I said something that you didn't like pre-show the other day. And
about Troy Aikman and Tony Romo? That's not a basketball discussion, though.
I stand by that. About LeBron and the all-time points thing. I need you to convince me why this is a big deal.
Yeah, Adam, Chris Brockman yesterday was saying that it's not, I don't really think it's that big of a deal that LeBron's breaking the all-time scoring record, which is
That's not exactly what I said.
Well, what you said that it wasn't that big of a deal.
Compared to other sports, like basketball, what's basketball's sacred record? It's a 100 point game,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's kind of it. That's kind of all the basketball has. Football doesn't really have anything. It was kind of Bradshaw and Montana's Super Bowl mark.
Four Super Bowls until
and
Tom
now Brady
came
and, has just obliterated that.
But I still think four has to be the benchmark because
you know,
seven is an anomaly.
But do you know? Yeah, but it's the benchmark.
But it's not. He's an anomaly,
it's
man.
It's the new benchmark.
What do you mean? It's the mark now. It's the one that everybody's chasing.
So it used to be if you make two or three or four Super Bowls, you're great. Now you're going to tell me you got to win seven Super Bowls to be considered great in the NFL? Like, I mean, come on,
gotta
man.
You got to get close.
An anomaly, man.
You
got to
get close. Okay, so.
I say four
what's the
is still.
Record, but what's the record for all-time touchdowns? What's the record for yards?
217 rushing, I believe, by Emmitt Smith. No, one. That's I used to know these numbers.
That's what I mean.
I don't know.
Nobody really knows.
I do know the points is 38,000 and something, though. I've always known that.
And something, though. And something. Baseball, you know exactly what Ted Williams hit in 1941. You knew exactly how many home runs Hank Aaron had.
Because baseball
you knew exactly
is,
how many
baseball is
hits.
All about numbers and stats.
But all sports are about numbers and stats. So,
but baseball in particular.
Baseball
though.
In particular. Like
all sports are about numbers and stats.
Okay, so
it's
now
about,
you're proving
about,
the point. So this is a big deal.
But you don't even know what the number is.
It doesn't matter.
It's a huge deal.
The whole game is about deal. Who scores the most.
I'm not really seeing much fanfare about it online. I mean, look, everyone the other night was slurping off LeBron and they're down by 20 points.
But
he had a 40-point game. Who
Chris,
cares? They're down by 20.
Because
so
Chris,
once it gets
deal?
Closer, he's about, I don't know how many points, but it's less than 100.
He's like
it's
170.
Less than
200. He's like 170.
Once it gets to that 50, 60 range, there will be media coverage everywhere. It's a huge deal.
I don't know, man.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did this in, I believe, 1989. He retired. And so there hasn't been a guy that's come along since that long ago. That's over 34 years ago. It's a huge, huge deal
it's
to
a
have
huge
that,
deal.
That longevity and score that many points. It's something that'll probably won't happen again for another 30 or 40 years if we have another guy that can play 20 years like Kareem and LeBron have done and been so consistent their entire career.
Is this only because he's on the Lakers?
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
If he played for the Magic, would anybody care?
Is
yes,
his name still
absolutely.
LeBron James? Yes, LeBron James could be playing for anybody.
Know.
You know, you
I
claim that you
yeah,
don't have
don't
a problem
this.
With LeBron, but like every time it seems like you do, you're on that LeBron hate a little bit.
I'm
which
not on the LeBron hate.
You
I'm on,
are,
I'm
bro.
On everyone slurping LeBron.
Because, Chris, you've never seen anything like this before. In the history of basketball, which is all of our first or second favorite sport, you've never seen this. You've seen Kevin Willis go and play 20 years. Great. Kevin Willis was averaging 6 points a game. You've never seen a man at 38 years old in his 20th year in the league with all the expectations.
But they're not winning anything.
But we're talking
but
about
he has
the scoring.
Won.
Yeah, he's won championships.
He's won.
And we're
he's
talking
done
about
stuff
the
that no one's ever done.
Ever.
Nine straight finals. You're talking a guy at 38. He's still, Adam, what's he averaging? 28 a game? 27 a game?
Something like that.
It's ridiculous what this guy's doing. And I got to be honest.
But they're not winning.
okay.
Yeah, but the team has been injured. Anthony Davis has missed half the year. You have to give him the whole season.
He can only do what he can do. It's not like they're losing and he's averaging 16. Mans is going out there putting almost 30 a night in there.
Because he's trying to get the record.
Or because that's what he's done his entire life.
By the way, he's averaging 29.9. He's averaging 30 points a game right now.
So what are we saying now? He's all of a sudden just getting like generous fake buckets?
Saying, it's just like it just feels like stat padding for the record.
Come on, be serious. You can't believe that. You cannot believe
that. He's doing everything that he can to help that team win. It's not his fault that they're injured and his supporting cast isn't that great.
It is his fault the supporting cast isn't that great. He's the GM. He's picking the players.
Okay, so then say this. You won't put LeBron in the Hall of Fame as GM. Fine. If that's the worst thing you're going to say about him, like, come on, man.
This guy is
historically great season. He's averaging 30 points, 7 assists, and 8.5 rebounds a game. That's historically great.
I just don't think the NBA's scoring record is, like, on par with Aaron's home run mark or any of that stuff. Well,
you probably would have said that too until Barry Bonds got close to it because no one had been close.
Yeah, but everyone discounted Bonds from the get-go because we knew he was on steroids.
Okay, but the fact of the matter is it was still a big deal once he got close. Like, no one had been close.
Last year, the NBA and the media made a huge deal of Steph Curry getting the all-time three-point record.
That was weird.
And this, to me, the scoring record is way more important. Bigger.
That I do agree with you. The Steph three-point thing last year was weird just because everybody likes him?
No, because the three-pointer has revolutionized and changed the game of basketball.
It's definitely something cool and unique that happened, but to have the all-time record NBA player, huge deal.
You scored more points than anyone in the history of basketball.
We're talking Michael Jordan. We're talking Jerry West.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Wilt Chamberlain, Kobe Bryant, Julius Irving.
Is it just because he played a long time? Like, isn't points per game more impressive?
Okay, well, guess what? His point per game average probably is about 27, too.
It's not the most all time.
No, that would probably be Wilt Chamberlain, who is another anomaly.
Here's what I believe. I don't think LeBron is the greatest scorer of all time, but he still can be the guy who has the most points of all time.
You hit the nail on the head. That's the thing. Remember when LeBron came into the league? He wasn't a scorer. No one ever thought he was going to be a scorer. Everyone went to compare him to Mike, and most people didn't know. Said, no, this guy's more Magic than he is Michael. And you took a guy who wasn't. Like Kevin Durant, you think pure bucket getter. Mm-hmm. You don't think that about LeBron. So the fact that LeBron is scoring at this clip when he technically isn't a scorer, which he is a scorer, but you know what I'm saying.
But in terms of like pure scorers, I think of Kobe, I think of Michael, I think of Durant as all better scorers than LeBron. But LeBron will still have the record. And we shouldn't discount the longevity, Chris. I understand what you're saying that, yeah, of course he has more points because he's played longer, but we have to give him credit for keeping his body in that incredible shape for 20 years. And that level of commitment is incredibly hard. Obviously, I think Michael Jordan's the best player of all time, and he took care of his body also, but he didn't play the amount of years that LeBron played. It wasn't even close. No. So as part of the argument for LeBron, you have to say the longevity because it's harder to play that many more years than Jordan did. And this is coming from me, a Michael Jordan fan.
I guess when you add in the playoffs, too, LeBron
played
a lot of basketball.
By the way, that's the thing, too, Chris. Remember, we got to a point where we said LeBron has actually played 6 extra seasons or 7 extra seasons. Just
Olympics.
9 straight, playoff, 8 straight, final. Right, like, right. So
a lot of games.
The wear and tear that this man has put on his body, the fact that it's special, man. It really is. And, you know, the thing is, like, I fall in the middle. Like, I like LeBron. I really do. But I'm not one of these, like, LeBron stans, as people call him. And I'm not a LeBron hater. So I can sit back and just look objectively. And I can tell you that the LeBron haters, right, always love to go on Twitter and talk about the LeBron blank writers and whatever. But the LeBron haters, to me, are far worse than the dudes who sweat LeBron.
Really?
Because as a hater, now it's like back in the day when Tyra Banks or Cindy Crawford, people used to go, Tyra Banks has a big forehead and Cindy Crawford has a mole. Like, you're really digging, dog. You're really digging hard to come up with something bad about LeBron. You really got to like dig hard and try to find something wrong. Like, you got to try for that, man.
I said something dumb like that once about Jessica Alba. I was like, at like her peak, I was like, oh, I don't like her knees.
You know what I mean? So to me,
everybody looked at me like, what did you just say? I was like, I don't know.
So to me, that's how it is with LeBron. If you're trashing LeBron, it's like, man, you're looking really hard to come up with something. Like, we've said this before on the show, and I'll just take myself as an example for 20 plus years, the number one Laker hater in this city. I had greatness in the form of Kobe Bryant staring at me every year for 20 years, and I chose to be on a hate the Lakers train instead of going, wow, man, I love basketball, and this dude is really special, and I didn't really appreciate it. So when it came to LeBron, I told myself, and I've said this before, I'm always going to take my personal thoughts about whatever team he's on. Like, I had no problem until he came to the Lakers, and then I did have a little bit of, you know, on that hate train. But what the guy does, it is amazing. I'll never say he's the greatest player ever, because I still think that's Mike, but you gotta say he's something. I gotta find the right description, because he is, if he's not 1A, he's 1B. You know, or, you know, you could even say 1C, because a lot of people think Kareem should be up there.
Yeah, Kareem doesn't get enough love.
He does not get enough love for what he does. But, yeah, man, you got to give it up to LeBron, bro.
All right, fine. Like, he also has played 1,400 games.
LeBron?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm just thinking of something. He's just, it's special, man. And I tell you what, the league is definitely not going to be as good when LeBron's gone. That's just a fact.
Yeah. I don't know. It's Tom Brady's going to quit one day, and is the NFL going to be as good without Tom Brady? Yeah, it's going to be great. Because guess what? It's like kind of like golf. You know, golf had Tiger Woods came.
Has golf been as good since Tiger's kind of not been in the mix as much?
I would say the talent is better than when Tiger played.
Do you enjoy it as much?
I do. I still enjoy golf because there's still the young guy, kind of like Tiger's sons. You know, all these guys who grew up loving and watching Tiger. They're now amazing. And
Master Sunday, when you sit down, do you feel the same amount of like Tiger's playing or
different.
Watching Rory or one of these other guys?
I understand what your point is. But
the thing that
NBA playoffs last year were awesome, right? Mm-hmm. LeBron wasn't in it.
We noticed it every step of the way.
But
too.
It was still a fun final.
LeBron being part of the conversation is great because he is divisive. And so, like you said, you have the haters and you have the super fans of his, and that does make the NBA more interesting. It just does. When there's more people that care about one specific player. To me, he's always been more unlikable than Jordan. Obviously, Michael Jordan was universally loved except for like Knicks fans and Cavs fans and Pacers fans and stuff like that. Yeah. But LeBron has overall received way more hate than MJ ever did.
Necessarily. And
Whatever you think, probably unnecessarily. Obviously, the decision.
Well, Adam, let me ask you, what has he done to garner the hatred? Then
what?
Just be really good at basketball.
Listen, I'm not a hater against LeBron. I'm bitter that he didn't join the Bulls in 2010, and I've always been bitter about that.
I understand
because
that.
We could have had a dynasty. I'm bitter about that. The hate, looking in retrospect, doesn't make sense, but at the time, it made sense about the decision.
I still think that's weird.
The decision, not only the decision. But the joining of a super team. The super team was never really done before. You could kind of say that the Lakers of Karl Malone and Gary Payton joining Kobe and Shaq, that failed. But the real first super team that set the trend for the next few years.
No, but that was a trade. That wasn't free agency.
No, that was different. We're talking about free agents specifically planning to join together on one specific team with him and Chris Bosh deciding to join the Heat. And so, to me, a lot of people got angry with that. And they're like, oh, these guys are just going to join up and just dominate, and it's not fair anymore.
Well, also,
and
the Warriors they kind of had a parade before they'd ever played a game and was like, oh, we're going to win 7 titles.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and they've kind of became the villains of the league, which I think is awesome. Like,
you love the villains.
I love villains. Sports really need villains. Like, we kind of need someone to rally around to hate, and it's kind of fun.
I don't know if that's totally necessary, but I see your point.
I think it's kind of, I mean, in a weird way, it's necessary. The thing about the Warriors is that they were just too likable. And now that Draymond has kind of, you know, turned himself into a big heel, like it's kind of gone the other way. But, you know, Kevin Durant joining the Warriors kind of gave everyone a team to kind of
boo.
Yeah, boo and kind of rally around and kind of hate and want to see him fail in a weird way. But, yeah, no, I see what you're saying. Like, you know, and then LeBron going to the Lakers. Like, the only people who like Lakers fans are people who live here. Like, the Lakers are kind of, they're like the Yankees. And, you know, nobody really likes them except the people who live in their area. And so it's like, oh, he joined the Lakers? Ugh, boo that man, you know? So, whatever.
And I don't agree, but a lot of people say that LeBron complains constantly. He does complain a lot, but not to the point where I think he deserves that much hate for it.
True. And like I've said before, you go back and you look at all the greats, man. Tim Duncan and Kobe Bryant collectively never committed a foul if you were to watch them. Luka, by the way, is far more demonstrative about a call than LeBron is.
I agree with
you. Like, Luka, like, goes off every time.
And I will say, that was one thing about Tatum that really frustrated me the last few years. It's just like, get back on defense. Okay, you didn't get the call. It's disrespectful.
Like, there
you go. You're an elite player. I know you deserve the call there. You didn't get it. Get your ass back on defense and, like, make a stop. Like, and he's kind of, you know, kind of curtailed that a little bit this season, which is nice to see. But, you know, hey, look, LeBron is fifth all-time points per game. Jordan and Wilt are 1 and 2. Can you name 3 and 4?
Elgin Baylor.
Kevin Durant.
Jerry West.
27.4. Kevin Durant, 27.3. LeBron, 27.2. Jerry West, 27.0. And then TJ's favorite, Allen Iverson, 26.7.
I'm the truth like AI. Let me tell you something. If Allen Iverson was 6'3", the whole history of the earth would have been a different story, all right?
History of the earth?
You're lucky Allen Iverson was only 5'11 and a half, okay? That's all I'm saying.
All right, real quick, TJ, you were not in the building for Clippers Lakers, but you did go to Clippers Sixers.
I went to Clippers Sixers. I have to be in the building every year for that one.
What did you think of the Clippers Lakers? Nice beatdown the other night.
It's almost to the point now where it's just like, okay, like, do we have to do this? I gotta be honest with you. At some point, I'm kind of hoping the Lakers win at least a game. It's like, after a while, you just keep beating them up and beating them up and beating them up. It's not fun anymore. It's 10 in a row. We run L.A. It's just not fun. You know, by the way, we don't run L.A.
The other day, Smitch goes, ask TJ when the parade was for the regular season win.
That's fine. That's fine.
Oh, something real quick. We were talking about this the other day, and we'll wrap up on this. Teams that win championships that you'd be most surprised by.
Oh, yeah, that was
it. So let's stick to the NBA here. Which team, if they won an NBA championship in the next couple of years, would surprise you the most?
Just any team in general?
Yeah.
Just like, oh, man, that team won a title? Like, what would shock you NBA-wise? Because we were talking about this with other sports.
I'll tell you, it'll be the Clippers for me.
Just a team that's always been
always something,
cursed,
always cursed.
Bit.
They've always stunk.
Somebody gets hurt in the playoffs.
When you think they're good, then the hamstring goes and the finger breaks and the quad pops, you know, or the ACL gets destroyed on a dunk when you obliterate another human being in midair, which was happening to Kawhi. You know, there's always something with these Clippers. And I've gone over this. This curse is real. I believe it. I hope someone is able to pull the pin out of the voodoo doll's head at some point, but. Yeah, that would be a team. If the think about it, the Los Angeles Clippers winning an NBA title.
You're wild. That's what we were talking because we were talking about the NFL, Adam, and we were like, man, the Saints winning that Super Bowl in 2009 was like, dude, anybody can win a Super Bowl.
I've got a team.
Because I didn't think they would ever win. And then we were kind of talking about, man, that's kind of like the Chargers now or the Lions. Like, if they ever won a Super Bowl, or the Vikings.
To me, it's the Phoenix Suns.
Oh.
And they're a team that made the finals a couple years ago. But imagine if the Suns won the championship.
They were up 2-0 against Milwaukee.
They were right there. But imagine a couple years later. Now, if the Phoenix Suns
won. I don't
want
to interrupt. I don't think that's so weird because remember, Phoenix has always been pretty good.
Yeah, but they're that team that, at least to me, they're the team that can never get it over the top. They can never be the number one team. They were close. But especially 2 years later now, Chris Paul's way older. Devin Booker's been dealing with some injuries. If that team won the championship, I would be like, wow. Like,
I get you.
That's surprising. They beat Milwaukee or they beat Boston. I think they're a good team and they can make a playoff run, but they're, to me, one of those teams that will never get over the hump and win the championship.
Yeah, I think for me, it's kind of the Knicks in that sense. Like, the Knicks winning a championship would absolutely blow my mind. Like, they always find a way to blow it. They're hiring the wrong coach. They're making the wrong draft pick. They sign the wrong free agent. They think this person's coming, and then like what? Oh, they go to Brooklyn instead. They're like in your face. It's just like
psych.
If the Knicks just can't get it out of the way, like crappy ownership. Like if they ever won a title, I would be absolutely stunned. Sorry to say, Ben.
I thought we were talking more about contenders, though. I didn't realize we're like going to the, like the bottom.
No, I'm just talking about like if any barrel. Team like won a championship, like who would, even just in your lifetime, you would be shocked.
Okay, maybe not the Suns necessarily. Then I'd probably go with what you said, the Knicks, because until they get rid of that owner, the Suns just got a new owner who's supposed to be awesome. The Suns' new owner, I don't know if you guys know, he played on the Final Four team of Michigan State when they had Mateen Cleaves and Mo Pete.
I heard that. Yeah,
and so you
that.
Have a guy that's young. He's in his 40s. Yeah. He's a billionaire. He loves basketball, and he knows the game. He's one of the only owners that's actually played in Division I basketball. So
he might be. Yeah.
So scratch that, actually. If you're talking long-term, just bottom-of-the-barrel teams, I agree with
We're
you.
We're talking historical.
Just like if they won a title, like, you know, you just think about it, you're like, oh, man, if the –
And they haven't won since, what, 73, I believe, or 72?
It's back there, bro.
And the Knicks, I love watching the Knicks when they're good. That rivalry the Bulls had when I was a young kid with the Knicks in the 1990s was so fun to watch. That Madison Square Garden crowd, they rock like no other crowd does in the playoffs. That stadium is so fun to be around and just watch on TV.
Remember how everyone went apeshit a couple years ago? They won a playoff game at home, and like people celebrated like it was a championship.
Yeah, give Spike Lee his last, you know, give
man,
him.
Man, F that guy. I got beat.
Hey, watch your mouth. Oh, yeah. Watch your mouth. Just because Spike moded you on Twitter once, you know.
Oh, we're actually coming up on the anniversary. All right, let's get out of here. But real quick, be remiss if we didn't mention today's anniversary of Kobe and Gigi and the rest of everyone on the helicopter flights passing. 3 years, guys. It's been 3 years. Can you believe it? I'll never forget that day as long as I live. It was the kind of the moment that kind of changed everything. In the last 3 years, I feel like, TJ, we talked about that. We watched the Lakers-Sixers game the night before.
And just to jump in there.
And Kobe passed LeBron on the all-time LeBron passed Kobe on the all-time scoring list that night.
And you and I watched that game, and all we did that whole game was talk about Kobe, man. We talked about, like, you think Kobe's cool with this? You think Kobe would be, like, and the next day, like you said.
And one of his last tweets was, like, congratulating LeBron.
That was his last tweet, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
And then the next day, you know, everything changed forever.
And it's one of those things that, you know, you will remember where you were forever and ever. And like Chris Brockman, if you and I, for whatever reason, we never see each other past 110 today, I'll still 20 years from now go, oh yeah, Chris Brockman, I was with him the day Kobe died, because you got the phone call while we were walking. We were in Miami going to pick up Super Bowl credentials. You got the phone call. I remember you stopping short in the middle of the street going, what? And it was just, and then you said those words, bro. And you're right. That started that started 2020 in its downward spiral, because that happened. And then 2 months later, COVID happened, and things just ain't been the same since. So,
and it's so crazy. Awful, like, man. Like, we woke up today, and normally I've worn the Kobe jersey the last couple of years. And, I completely forgot.
I thought it was yesterday.
Slipped my mind that it was today, and I kind of like feel bad that I missed it. That I just like I didn't wake up, and that wasn't the first thing I thought of. And in a weird way, I feel bad about that. But yeah, everything changed that day, Adam. And it's weird. I still just seeing people post clips today. Someone posted a clip of him on Kimmel. And it's just...
he was so young, 41. 41 years old, still had his whole life ahead of him. Granted, he has a legacy that will last forever.
Yeah.
Just with how he inspired people and inspired the next generation of NBA players. You look at NBA games on a daily basis, there's always players wearing his shoes.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's a huge legacy, just even his shoes, that carries his memory.
He was worldwide, man.
In Asia, he was the most popular player.
Yeah, and just the whole like Mamba mentality. Jason Tatum loves Kobe Bryant.
And what he did also for women's sports, being a girl dad, him being really, it would have been amazing to see how he would have pushed women's sports. Because one thing we've discussed, maybe not on this show, is whenever women's basketball gets brought up on Twitter, you're going to ultimately always see these jerk off kids who write these, oh, make a sandwich or go back in the kitchen. And I'm here to tell
they
you,
they don't dunk. It's not exciting.
Not one male who plays basketball, who's good at basketball, will ever knock a female. Right. Because, you know, like, I grew up Altoona High, like my high school, for as little as we were in the little town I'm from, we're a two-time USA Today national championships, Altoona Lady Lines. Like,
right. Yeah, high school, I went to Stevenson High School in Lincolnshire, Illinois. We had the Catching Sisters, Tanya and Tamika.
Oh, Tanya, okay.
I mean, come on. So Catchings, I remember watching them when I was a kid, and I was like, I was in awe of them.
Yeah, man. And so, like, when just like these goofy guys who write these stuff about these female ballers, trust me, like, unless you're really, really, really super dope, any one of these girls is going to eat you up. Like, so it just would be interesting to see how he could help change the perception and hopefully the way some of these knucklehead kids look at the women's game. And, you know, Kobe was at the forefront of that, man. And just, but one thing I want to do, because I think I did it last year, because, you know, I was in a situation where I had a lot of friends who were, you know, famous. And one of our biggest fears was to say something were to happen, and it'd always be like, this guy passed and friend. And I never wanted to be the friend. So what I always like to do is I just always like to remember those who were in that wreck with him. And that was Kobe. That was Gigi. That was John Altobelli. That was his wife, Carrie. Their daughter, Alyssa. Think about that, man. That's awful. Yeah. Peyton Chester, her mom, Sarah. Basketball coach, Christina Mauser, and the pilot, Era Zobayan. So we want to say rest in peace and rest in love to those souls that we lost, man. Just truly tragic.
A thing I've seen that's beautiful on Instagram is it seems that Pau Gasol has kind of taken the father-like role to Kobe's kids.
Yeah, like a big godfather.
Yeah, they've posted a lot of pictures of him with them. Making sure they're okay. And I know him and Rob Pelinka, they're very close with Kobe's family. And so they've kind of taken that, you know, like you said, the godfather type role.
Sabrina's always down there, like, hanging out with them.
Yeah, Inescu, who just got engaged too, by the way.
Yeah.
Shout out to her.
That's awesome. So that's how we're going to end today's show, this week's show. Thank you guys for listening and watching. TJ, Adam, thank you guys. I love you guys. And RIP to the great Kobe Bryant.
All right. Peace.